Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guests today are some representatives from Droid Behavior from the LA techno scene. We're going to listen to a couple of tracks they brought in and talk about what they're doing. So we'll start with that right now. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Stick around. And we're back on Is Good on KillRadio.org, hanging out with some guys from Droid Behavior. How's it going?
Hey. Good, good.
Thanks for battling the traffic to the worst parking neighborhood in L.A.
Hey, this used to be my neighborhood, so.
It's still my neighborhood. So for our listeners who may not already be acquainted, what is Droid Behavior?
Droid Behavior is a small collective of guys here in Los Angeles that have always wanted to push forward-thinking electronic music, more specifically all genres and subgenres of techno, some IDM experimental electronic music as well. For the longest time, there wasn't that much of that going on out here. So just over the years, we've just been collecting ideas and helping each other promote our shows and pushing them and stuff like that.
Did it start as, you know, a night at a specific club, or did it start as a bunch of house parties? Or
actually, it started off as a newsletter. We were randomly just meeting a lot of people around the city that were really, you know, expressing how much they were into techno. And we decided that if we collected all the people that we met that were into the music, because it was still a very small collective of people, and anytime we had any information about a techno party going on, we'd shoot out an email blast to our newsletter. And we had some really great responses from everybody on our newsletter that would come out. And then it slowly progressed to starting doing more weekly shows until we kind of established our more popular interface event series, which we're doing now.
And did this also develop into a music label? You represent artists?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all of us were producers and DJs first and foremost. So the record label was just an obviously a good way to, you know, creatively put out our own music and express that. So,
well, tell me a little bit about each of you guys and what you do and what you bring specifically to Droid Behavior.
Sure. Well, I'm part one half of Acid Circus. Pretty much my brother and I started out in the late 90s, 99, 2000, with the idea of just creating the music that the DJs were playing. We'd go to parties and see the DJs perform and saw the great crowd reaction they got. And I was inspired by the DJs, but at the same time, I didn't want to be playing other people's records. I was I want to be the guy making the records that these guys are playing. So we kind of just fooled around in the kitchen on two humongous desktops and just kind of battled each other on Rebirth.
Which they don't make anymore.
Yeah, well,
I just got a new Mac, and I have my old Rebirth program, and I can't load it onto my new Mac.
Yeah, I won't work on the new Intel Macs, but yeah, so that was really inspiring. Just kind of we learned all our basic pattern making, and just we listened to all the techno records that were coming at the time, just kind of listen to the beats and emulate them, and just kind of figured out how to program that way. And then from there, just moved on to more advanced software programs, but just kind of kept that aesthetic of bringing a really intense live show and kind of just getting a crowd reaction and just kind of going back and forth this what we saw in the party days rave scene in late 90s. So let's try and keep that vibe alive, just crowd reaction, because so many DJs, they just go up there and they just are lost in the mixer or staring in front of a laptop, and even some of the biggest DJs in the world still do that, and it's cool, and I can see the music can speak for itself, but we're really more interested in just engaging the audience and getting the intensity of the energy that way.
It's interesting when you talk to someone who's not really well-versed in electronic music and you tell them that you do electronic music, it takes them a while to figure out what the difference is between a DJ and what the DJ is playing. Because there are people that just present electronic music, and there are those that just make electronic music. It sounds like you guys are doing sort of a combination of the two. You're both DJs and producers.
Definitely. I personally, I produce and perform under Drumcell, and I kind of do a hybrid thing of, as you were just saying, producing and DJing as well. And, on occasions I do the live performance thing as well. But I primarily also run the record label for Droid. And, Vidal, who's another part of Acid Circus, kind of heads way in our marketing and promotional side of things, promoting our events. And we all kind of take a big part and wear many hats and everything. But, we all have our specialties as well. So
one of the things that I think is interesting, I don't know if this is true all over, maybe it's just an LA thing, but it seems like when you present yourself as a DJ in LA, there are certain expectations with dance music. Mm-hmm. And techno is not one of them. In fact, there seems to be sort of an anti-techno vibe in the more popular nightclubs. You know, they want to hear hip-hop, or they want to hear Top 40, or what they consider to be dance, which is kind of club-ish. But techno has always been in the underground and has been kind of suppressed into the underground as a result of, I don't know, MTV or something. What do you guys think is the deal with that? Because I go out, you know, and it's actually hard to find a place where you can actually hear and certainly play good electronic music.
Exactly. Well, I think there's a lot of really complicated sides to that story. I mean, depending on how you look at it, for the longest time, for instance, even inside of the general dance music culture, I think a lot of people on the West Coast in particular seem to mistaken techno for trance. And already automatically has a bad flavor in their mouth about it. And when you say techno to them, it's all the same, because they're probably not as educated in electronic music and don't know the difference between specific subgenres and stuff like
the
that.
The only electronic music they're exposed to is oversaturated with trance and
whatever they hear on K-Rock or, you know, KCRW, the late night mix shows, you know, like, oh, that's techno.
I mean, you know, if you really ask your general person, you know, what they think techno is, usually they think back to, you know, I don't know, James Brown is Dead or the Mortal Kombat theme song or something like that. You know, I don't think in general that a lot of people, you know, in the United States and especially specifically in the West Coast as well, are really that educated on, you know, the roots of techno, where it came from and what it is today and all that stuff.
There is this sense of techno as a gimmick, as something that happened. James Brown is Dead is a perfect example. It's like Too Unlimited and that kind of like thing got grouped into that rave. And it's a shame, because there are groups that I think fall under the techno category that continue to make music to this day and get, you know, under-recognized, like Juno Reactor or like 808 State, those old school groups that, you know, they were doing the exact same thing, you know, playing with drum machines and trying new things. Yeah. But it wasn't just about the hook, you know, it wasn't just about the dance floor.
I think it's just such misunderstanding of people, or like don't even know the history of techno and how deeply rooted it is in American culture. I mean, it pretty much was spawned in Detroit in the 80s alongside with house music and electro, and it's just kind of grew from there, and obviously it sparked techno movement all over the world, especially in Europe. And I just think it's kind of funny how a lot of people are like, oh, that's just like silly gimmicky music, and like I guess I'm just trying to say they don't like understand the what a strong importance it is, like as part of American music history, you know.
Yeah,
like it's a very strong part of it.
I think what gets overlooked too is how it's influenced other forms of music. I mean, I always thought it was funny the sort of fake conflict between Eminem and Moby, and he threw into one of his songs, you know, nobody listens to techno.
Yeah.
But the truth is, nobody would really listen to hip hop if there weren't drum machines. And we wouldn't have popularized drum machines if people weren't making techno.
Yeah, these producers were sharing the same equipment in the 80s. And
it was all generally around from the same ideas as well as, you know, the roots of it. But, you know, I also think it's kind of funny that Eminem just happens to be from Detroit as well. On top of it all.
It's true. And it's just like, I hadn't thought of that. Well, let's take a little break and listen to another track. Tell me what you guys brought in for us here.
What we've been listening to today is actually a release by Acid Circus, who is Vidal and Vangelis. It's our next release on Droid Records, Droid 6. And it also contains a remix by Agaric, who runs a label out of Sweden called We Are Records. And he's also been formerly known in the past as, you know, an extremely large techno producer. He used to just go by his real name, Patrick Skoog. We'll be hearing right now Reduction, which is the A-side track.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are Droid Behavior. Stick around. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Droid Behavior. Tell me, guys, a little bit more about your specific, about Drum Cell and Acid Circus, like what your style is and what you aim to do with your own music. Well, like, who are some of the, maybe start with some of the artists that you feel like particularly influenced by?
I'm not sure if it's even really specifically just techno, but for instance, we just recently had Speedy J out, and Speedy J has always been an extremely big influence on me, especially, you know, people like Richie Houghton, you know, and just a lot of old industrial music.
Trent Reznor.
Hey, Trent Reznor as well, man. He's a big influence as well. And, you know, just a lot of things, you know. I think musically, what I've been always trying to do with Drum Cell, I think it just has many faces. I've always been kind of dibble-dabbling through a lot of things. With techno, I've always been kind of going with a little bit more of a driving, harder, maybe slightly more darker sound. And from time to time, I can get kind of funky as well. But I also do make a lot of experimental electronic, like really distorted, broken beat type stuff as well. So,
And what about Acid Circus? Like, how is your approach different from that, or is it?
Yeah, we definitely kind of just came from different influences. I mean, we definitely have some gray area where our influences merge. But I think Vidal and I were influenced heavily just kind of like from the Chicago Jack and sound and a lot of the like deep Detroit stuff from like the late 90s. I mean, all throughout Detroit's musical output is really good, but and then I think more recently too, you know, just with the whole outbreak of minimal techno, obviously it's influencing us to a good degree, and we like take the elements from that style or subgenre that we like the best and kind of infuse it with that old school mentality of like, you got to bring the funk to the floor, you got to, you know, make the dancers jacket, you know, like if it's not funky and it doesn't have energy, like, you know, what's the point really? I mean, there's a lot of minimal techno that just kind of we just kind of call it snooze fest because yeah. It's just like, you know, it's just doesn't have, you know, that flavor, you know.
Yeah,
it's a really really good sound, the production's really good. I mean, I'm not going to knock the producers in that realm. You know, they're definitely kind of evolving the sound of techno, but just the style for me sometimes just isn't doing it, you know?
Yeah. There's a couple of producers, you know, I don't necessarily name names, but especially in, it seems like in the 90s German vein, it was like ultra repetitive, and it was cool because they were sort of using repetition as a musical instrument, but there was occasionally the song would come on that would be like 11 minutes long, and you get the sense that, you know, the guy sort of set up the loop and then went out and like had a bowl of cereal and like took a shower and then came back and, you know, pressed another button. And I think that's one of the complaints that a lot of people have about some techno is that, you know, it is the repetition and that it's, you know, there's not enough changes.
I don't think there's a way you can really get away from just the repetitive sound of
dance music
in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody that kind of is under the Droid umbrella thing, especially the music that we've put on the label, we've definitely, you know, have really focused on putting on more like high energy, not necessarily like, you know, high energy club music or anything, but I mean, it was still under like the techno thing, you know, just putting stuff that's a little more jacking and pumping and got some funk and sounds that actually keep people interested and involved with the music instead of just drifting off and getting ideas. Because, you know, a lot of DJs also, when they start playing, they slowly like build up and continue to build and build, and they'll play tracks that just drop down, and we do that as well. But for the most part, I think we really, really, really try to keep the focus of the entire crowd, especially for like really ADD people who just like can't pay attention. You're just like, this is what we're doing. Look, look, look. And we just keep on slapping them with tracks and just keeping them involved and interested. So, yeah, we definitely try not to ever keep it repetitive and get people to get bored at any time.
Tell me a little bit about how the Droid Behavior scene has developed. I mean, when you guys first started putting on shows, you know, and having parties, has the crowd grown and they follow you around now?
Definitely. I mean, when we were coming from, we were just like a couple of disgruntled techno heads who pretty much had no outlet to listen to the music out in the scene, you know. Like at the time, trance was pretty much king, and it really like took over the rave scene. It just got really, really washed up, and like kind of just gave up on that whole scene. And like there were a few LA promoters doing a few techno shows, but we're talking like 15 people. Like, it was really small. So that's like when what Mo was saying, we kind of started the whole newsletter and started handing out cards and like just trying to pull in people who had that same mentality of like, you know, where's the techno, let's listen to some techno. So I think we did our first official show over at what's that place on Hollywood?
The Vine Bar?
No, the Rock Club. They have one in New York too.
I don't know.
It's right there in Highland and Hollywood Highland, like in sort of that plaza. They just closed it.
Damn.
You have to go upstairs the escalator. The first one, it was us, and it was Subversive and.
Wait, is that Level 3? Is that in Hollywood Highland?
No, it's usually a rock club, like, and like hip hop shows.
I don't remember that.
It's escaping me at the moment. Yeah. But anyway, so you put on a show and
yeah.
It came off well.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I think it's been a slow rise, just like day after day, and it hasn't been an easy job because it's just so definitely, it's so crazy promoting out here. Like, you just put flyers in people's faces, and you know, people just don't really care about it as much. Especially when you say techno, it's just instantly they're like,
yeah,
oh, I don't want to go to that. You know what I mean? And then usually those same people who, you know, dissed it, you know, a few years later, they end up coming out and you just see them rocking out and freaking out. And you're like, hey, what's up? It's good to see you, man. And I thought you didn't like techno. They're like, this isn't techno. And this music's good.
Right.
You're just like, okay, man, whatever.
So do you think maybe part of your objective in all this is to educate people about what techno is and what it isn't?
Definitely. And we've had a lot of means of trying to educate people as well. Like on our newsletter, we send out a lot of DJ mixes from DJs across the world that we feel are putting out good music. And, you know, we also did a little zine for a while, you know, with just charts and, you know, interviews and stuff like that. So a lot of what Droid Behavior does is a mixture of a lot of things. I mean, one thing, we have the record label and we're putting out music, you know, from a lot of Los Angeles artists and our own music and people that we really like and influence us. And then, you know, the educational part where we're constantly trying to spread knowledge about the music to people who do not know about it. And for the people that, you know, do know about it, we have events and for them to come out and so on.
And I assume you probably use the internet a lot as well as part of your promotion. I mean, you hand someone a flyer, it's kind of like saying, hey, would you throw this out for me? I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to
actually drag people in physically. I would say that the largest majority of the people that come to our events and know about who we are is from the internet. I don't even know how useful the flyers really are because they end up usually on the floor after you get into somebody.
I think we pulled some of those people off the internet to begin with the flyers, and now they're just don't need the flyer anymore. They're just tied into the newsletter or whatever. But
yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell, really. Yeah. But you know,
but has it gotten easier now? If you say, okay, Droid Behavior is presenting this thing, you can rely on some more people showing up.
Yeah, we do have a core group of people that will always show up, and we really have never had an unsuccessful show, which has been good. I mean, you know, we've all had really, really, really good shows.
How frequently do you do shows?
We have in the past done a lot of little shows. You know, partnering up with other promoters, stuff, you know, doing compression shows and, you know,
teaming up with like a few of the experimental groups,
like Dark Matter and a lot of those guys. Basic. And then you know, we do our interface show, which is usually semi-monthly, you know, every other month or so like that. And our interface shows are kind of our flagship shows. They're like our big shows that we do where we kind of usually get an undisclosed location that's never announced until the day of the event. And you know, we, you know, really get to do what we want with the venue and have the freedom of what we always envisioned us to do with the event. So those are kind of our flagship shows, and they're the best things that we feel we do. So.
Well, I was thinking that must be a challenge as well if you're trying to do a show at an established venue, you know, and they have all the same preconceived notions about techno that your average listener does.
Yeah.
Exactly. Have you guys experienced that at all? Sort of
in the coming up against the wall? You know? I mean, you can't go till the morning either. You know, you kind of have to deal with those rules, and you know, we're just like, there's not enough hours to be done by two for all the DJs that we want to fit in there, and you know, we just want people to be free and not have security breathing down their neck and like paying the $15 drink prices and dealing with, you know, the dudes with the silver flashy shirts and all that whole scene. You know, it's like, if you're here to dance, you're here to listen to some music, and let's just strip all the bullshit down, you know.
Yeah, just
bring the music to the forefront and have a good time.
On that note, you guys have a couple, at least one big event coming up, I know. tell me what's going on with that.
Actually, we're doing the NAMM conventions in town, which is the National Association of Music Manufacturers. It's in Anaheim, and they, you know, all the manufacturing companies are in town. So there's a lot of endorsed artists that come down for the NAMM convention to work with the companies that they're endorsed by to show off products. And we are actually doing a NAMM after party, which is January 19th. On a Saturday, and we got some really cool people coming out. Richard Devine from Schematic Records, The Flashbulb, a lot of the Droid guys are playing. Drum Cell Me and Acid Circus will be performing as well. And Sonic Death Rabbit, the guy, his name is Basic. He's one of the guys from Sonic Death Rabbit. And they do, you know, a lot of events here in the city as well, a lot of experimental blistered beat stuff, you know, really hard breakcore stuff, and they're going to come out, and Basic's going to do performance as well. There's actually a lot of people in the lineup. It should be a good event. They can always get information for the party at droidbehavior.com. You know, also our MySpace profile as well, MySpace/droidbehavior. So
cool. All right, let's listen to another track that you brought in here, and we'll be sure to mention the NAMM event again before we take off.
Yeah, for sure. I think the next track we're going to play is the Agaric remix of Reduction. It's good.
Is it now? There we go. Son of a...
Yeah, actually, we've been getting a lot of good feedback on that track. A lot of people really like his elements that he's doing there.
Yeah, if anybody's interested in picking up any of our music as well, especially this particular release, the Reduction EP on Droid, it's going to be out next Monday, I believe.
Yeah.
And you can actually pick up any vinyl copy off any online DJ store, like Juno Records or, you know, wherever you shop. We also probably will have some copies at Amoeba. And, of course, if you're a digital download junkie like most people are these days, our music will be available on Beatport. So.
Before I play this, I actually want to ask you, because I ask this of a lot of rock bands that I've had on the show, and I think it's probably got to be the same for electronic music. There used to be this art form of making an album, and you know, you would be, you'd get this CD and you'd listen to it from top to bottom. You'd hear, you know, the sequencing of the album actually meant something. You know,
exactly.
The fact that this song came after this song actually had an effect on you. But now with iTunes, everybody downloads stuff. Everybody thinks of things in terms of a one track or another track. You know, what's your take on all of that? Do you think that's...
Jeez, that's just changed everything. I think music these days just is completely disposable. You know what I mean? People just, they buy something, they download it. And, you know, for me, back in the days, I remember when I used to buy albums, you know, everything was really important to me. Like you were saying, like the track selection, even the artwork of the album and just having it. And now that this digital age is just so large, I think a lot of those mediums are completely, like, you know, useless now to most people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I used to like it. You know, I'd like really be into a song, and one of the things I would like about it was that it was track four, you know, and I can't get that feeling anymore.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to some music. This is Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Droid Behavior. We'll be right back. All right, we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. Before we do a recap on your upcoming events and where people can get some more Droid Behavior music, I just want to ask you guys if you have any thoughts about the future of Droid Behavior, like what kind of direction you're going. And, you know, it's probably evolved quite a bit since you started the idea. Is it going to continue in that same direction? Are you guys going to try something new? What are your thoughts on the future for Droid Behavior?
Well,
all trance all the time.
I think we've all made a very solid decision that for 2008 we were going to primarily focus on the label and ourselves as artists and producing music and continuously to flesh out as many tracks as we possibly can. We will still continue to do all the interface events because no matter how much they break our back at the end of the day, we always have fun and love doing it.
It's always worth it, huh?
It's always worth it every single time. But yeah, definitely focusing on music and making tracks. I think all of us have been in the studio nonstop recently and just like trying to build an arsenal of music to just rain bombs on people.
Definitely. Just keep your eyes out for Acid Circus and Drum Cell.
And do you guys, as Acid Circus and Drum Cell, do you guys gig out separately from Droid Behavior at all? Do you, you know, play at different clubs or open for artists or anything like that?
We definitely play out quite a bit just all over the city and, you know, within the United States.
Yeah, this guy's been playing out quite a bit in Detroit and Chicago. in New York.
We got lined up, you know, quite a few gigs coming up soon. So,
What's your MySpace? What's for Drum Cell?
You can find me at myspace.com/drumcell. So, yeah, definitely.
And is that Acid Circus?
myspace.com/acid circus.
You know, there's also, you know, Audio Injection, who's on our label as well. Who's an amazing freaking producer, and every single time he gives me new music.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
I'm just like, Jesus, man, how does this kid do this, dude? Yeah.
So the artists under the Droid Behavior label, they just kind of, you know, you heard the music and you're like, this belongs with us? Or, you know, how did you come across the people that you guys
ended up
representing?
We're all kind of buddies.
Yeah, we've all been friends for quite some time. Actually, I met David through Victor, who's sitting in the studio with us here today, who's a part of our collective as well. And David, you know, he actually has, he has a lot of aliases and does a lot of really different genres of music on really far ends of the spectrum. But he plays some great stuff. And we actually have some other EPs coming up soon. So people should just really stay tuned to our website and to, you know, our MySpace profiles. And we're constantly announcing new record releases. Mm-hmm. Our schedule for 2008 is looking really good. So
sweet. Yeah. All right. Let us know one more time what events are up and where people can get more Droid Behavior music.
January 19th, the Droid NAMM After Hours Party. That's going to be at a location that will be announced. You know, actually, I think the address might be on the flyer on the website.
Or you
can
go to the myspace.com, Droid Behavior. It'll be on there.
Once again, the lineup, this is just a few of the guys of the a lot of people that are playing. It's going to be a two-room party. One room is going to be pretty much all techno, and the second room is going to be like IDM experimental dubstep music. Richard Devine's playing the Flashbulb, the Droid guys, Acid Circus and Drum Cell.
Appendix Shuffle.
Appendix Shuffle is playing as well, that's right. He's on Most Ferry. If anybody hasn't heard of him, you got to check his stuff out. And Strike from Miami is going to be playing for us too, who is lined up to be on one of our upcoming releases on Droid Records right now. That's going to be really good. So, yeah, everybody check that out. It's going to be a good show. That's about it.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming in. And,
thank you.
You know, send me some. Let me know when you have events coming up. I'll announce them in the air, and send me some music to play as well.
Of course.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org with my guests, Droid Behavior.